It will be a hot time in the old state capitol this week, and we will preview what's on the docket in this edition of our state capitol report. And we'll get up to date on other issues making their way through the legislature. We'll also touch on the recalls, the recount, and special election results. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May the 9th. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is with us for the first half of the State Capitol Report. And we will welcome in State Senator Tim Carpenter after 7:30 to talk about his proposal for a constitutional amendment on collective bargaining for public employees. If you have a question or a comment about what's happening at the state capitol, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Joining us now, state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning, Sean. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Joy.
So it's been busy, busy, busy at the state capitol.
Yeah, I think the next month, especially, is the month of May is always pretty busy as Joint Finance Committee wraps up the budget. I think this is just an especially busy summer, though, because not only do you have the usual budget proceedings going on, you have Republican majorities in the legislature and the governor's office for the first time in a long time, so they have sort of a pent-up agenda that they're going to go after. And you have this, this looming threat of recall elections that are set to tentatively. You know, I don't think we know for sure, but I believe it's July 12th is what the GAB wanted, and the court agreed to on those for most of them. So that's a pretty compressed schedule of events that we've got over the next couple of months.
Well, since you touched on the recalls, I did read that some of the Democrats think that the Republicans are hurry up and push this stuff through before a special election time, saying that they could take control of the state Senate. Is that a possibility?
I mean, it's a possibility. You don't know exactly how those recall elections are going to play out. If Democrats were to take three Republican Senate seats and not lose any of their own, that would give them control of the state Senate, which would immediately, gum up the works. Once power flipped, that would just gum up the works on any big Republican bills that the GOP wanted to advance, like, for example, a voter ID or a concealed carry. Those wouldn't have much of a chance, if Democrats controlled one of the chambers. That said, something like voter ID is something that Republicans said from day one they were going to pursue as soon as this legislative session got started.
Last week in the news, Democrats are challenging the recall petitions that had been circulated against the three Democratic state senators that were being targeted for recall, or at least that successfully turned in the number of signatures needed to try to recall. What are the concerns?
Yeah, there's challenges filed from both parties, as you can imagine, in something like this. Democrats are saying that the people who circulated the petitions against the Democratic senators, one, they were hired out of state, which is, there's nothing illegal about that. There's nothing, nothing that would disqualify any signatures for that. But that they were brought in from out of state, and that their concern was not in who wins election in Green Bay or Kenosha, for example, but in getting paid per signature. So they didn't care how they got those signatures. And so Democrats allege that not only were these circulators misrepresenting themselves, putting the wrong addresses on the petition forms, but that they were also, collecting fraudulent signatures from Democrats by telling them that this was a signature to recall Governor Walker or to support Democrats, stuff like that. Republicans have filed challenges against Democrats also. And one of the common themes in their challenges is that the petitions that these Democratic groups were using to go try recalls against Republican senators, that they basically laid the groundwork wrong in those, and that they, they didn't start the recall process properly, and so that there's, I think there are four recall petitions that they that Republicans say should be thrown out.
So where do we stand now with the whole recall process, Sean? Presuming the signatures are valid on all of this, or, you know, I mean, when are we going to know who's going to be on ballot for recall or not?
I think where we stand is we'll see what I think a lot of this will be decided in a court here. I mean, a court will look at these challenges. A judge will look at these challenges and decide, you know, whether they have merit and whether any of these are to be thrown out. And, you know, if they do, that's that would be a big deal. We would, you know, we'd have something to talk about depending on which of these petitions were thrown out. If none of them are thrown out, then as it stands right now, we've got 9 senators who would be up for recall elections. 6 of them Republicans, 3 of them Democrats, and 8 of those elections as it stands now, everybody but Green Bay Senator Robert Coles would be held on July 12th, which is, you know, shortly after the state legislature and governor usually wrap up in a good year, in a fast year. It's shortly after they wrap up the budget. And hence the sort of compressed, very news intensive next couple months.
We're going to talk to you about a lot of things that are going on in the state legislature, too. But since we're on election-related stuff, is the recount in the state Supreme Court race wrapping up pretty soon?
This was the day that it was supposed to be wrapped up by statute. It looks like, according to the Government Accountability Board, every county will be done with its recount except for Waukesha. And so the board had said before all this got started that if, you know, if one of the big counties wasn't going to be able to be finished by the statutory deadline, that it would go to a court and, you know, seek an extension. So, I mean, you could see that play out if a judge goes along with them.
Mm-hmm. Any big message coming out of the special election that took place last Tuesday to replace some of the state legislators or former state legislators that were given appointments in the Walker administration?
Yeah, these were 3 seats that were held by Republicans at the start of the year. And a couple of the seats held Republican, held strongly Republican in the election results, the 60th and the 83rd. But you go over to the 94th Assembly District in La Crosse, in the La Crosse area, and that was the one that that everybody was watching here. Democrats were obviously, well, I mean, Democrats were watching it. They felt like that could be a bellwether for them and that one that they could flip. That was the seat that was held by current Administration Secretary Mike Hipsch, basically the governor's right-hand man. And Republicans were watching it. You know this because, I mean, national Republican groups were spending money on TV ads in this tiny little assembly district. Obviously, it has significance because there was no way this one district was going to flip control of the assembly. Republicans have a strong majority in the assembly, and that didn't change after these elections. But that seat is I think pretty key, especially in these upcoming recall elections. At least one of them, because that's over in Senator Dan Kopanky's district. And, you know, up until this election, one thing that Dan Kopanky could point to in his favor is that 2 of the 3 assembly districts over in his Senate district were represented by Republicans. Even if the entire district might go, you know, to President Obama in a statewide election, Senator Kopanky has done well over there, and 2 of the districts were held by Republicans. So, you know, that's certainly something that gave him some hope in these in this upcoming recall election. It flipped pretty convincingly to Democrat Steve Doyle in this race. He had a 54% margin over there. And so now you have 2 of the 3 assembly districts over there are held by Democrats. And also just, you know, as just sort of a a spot in time or where do voters stand over there right now, given all that's happened in the Capitol, all that's happened with this collective bargaining stuff. Where are the voters in that area? At least in that assembly district, they went Democratic.
We will continue talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about what's happening at the state capitol in just a moment. We'll talk a bit about what's on the docket this week. like a vote on voter ID and a hearing on a on concealed carry legislation and more. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today. Right now it's a nice out across most of Wisconsin, but rain is in the forecast for later today. Highs will be in the 60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about what's happening in state government. And Sean, I see that the Joint Finance Committee is scheduled to vote on voter ID today, which would clear the way for a vote of the full legislature on Wednesday already.
Yeah, and that is one of the big GOP policy items. That's something that they've been wanting to do for years, and they were thwarted over and over again by Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. That's not going to happen this time. So it's a matter of what form does the bill take, and they're basically deciding among themselves. Republicans are how tough or how tight they want this voter ID bill to be right now.
Let's take a call. Someone has a question about voter ID. Nate in Milwaukee. Hello, Nate.
Hi, thanks for having me. I was calling to ask if this was still essentially a your photo ID is not good enough bill. I heard of something that sounds like a compromise where student IDs would be used, but I'm curious about if they are required to have current addresses, because a lot of college students move year to year, and I think that is something that would still detract from them, and it should use a student ID number, which only has one per student and stays the same for the whole time the student is at school.
Yeah. What is the latest on whether students can use their student IDs to vote, Sean?
I think what's happening right now is that the sponsors have said, and you know, this is something that could change depending on what happens in finance, et cetera, but I think sponsors have said they're open to having a student ID as a photo ID, but that they want to have an address on there. And so it's because the UW-Madison doesn't have that, and I don't know that they can have it on the their basic student IDs as a matter of federal law and just security concerns. In practice, you know, those student IDs might not apply. And so I think that may be one of those sticking points that that may or may not get worked out this week. Mm-hmm. But if you can't use student IDs either because they're banned or because in practice they just don't work, it would make Wisconsin's voter ID law one of the toughest, if not the toughest, in the nation.
Another very controversial or hot button, at least, bill that we just heard about getting reintroduced last week is going to public hearing this week already, that being concealed carry. One of these bills would allow for Wisconsinites to carry a concealed weapon without a training or a permit.
Yeah, which would be a big difference from the ones that passed when Republicans ran the legislature, but Jim Doyle was in the governor's office and there to veto whatever they passed out. You know, back then you had a number of Democrats from rural areas voting for these Republican voter I got mixed up in the bills there. These Republican concealed carry bills. Which included things like training and permits for carrying concealed weapons. The one that's being at least considered, talked about in the Senate right now, would be a lot more open in terms of its access to, concealed weapons. And another issue where Republicans will have to decide among themselves how tight they want this to be.
Mm-hmm. And that hearing is, there are going to be a couple hearings one on Thursday?
Thursday in Madison and in Wausau.
And we plan on talking more about the concealed carry legislation during our big question debate on Wednesday between 7 and 8. Boy, and I know education is also on the docket, and we have a caller, Joyce in Richland Center, who has a question about that. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. My question is, they are cutting so much money from public schools, and now that they are bringing up they want to expand the school choice in Milwaukee, I'm trying to get an answer from anybody is how Walker can justify this. And my question is, it sounds to me like he is more in favor of private schools than he is public schools. Does he not care about the people? Does he only care about the Republican agenda?
I don't know, Sean, if you can answer it posed quite that way, but the voucher legislation and expanding the voucher program is going to be tomorrow in the state legislature?
Yeah, and the state assembly takes it up tomorrow, and the bill that they're considering, at least the main bill of the two voucher bills that they're taking up, would expand the choice school system, the voucher system, where these private schools get tax dollars to educate students. That it would expand it. Right now, it's a Milwaukee City program. It would expand it to schools countywide in Milwaukee County. Also, right now, there's a cap on 22,500 students in the voucher program. This would eliminate that cap entirely. And they're not butting up against the cap right now in Milwaukee. But if they were to expand, there would be no cap to hold them back. Mm-hmm. So those are two sizable changes. One more change that they're not voting on tomorrow, but is still in the governor's budget, would remove any income restrictions in the choice program. And that's that's probably the biggest of the three changes when you get down to it, because that is a change in philosophy of the voucher school program, where it was designed as a program to help low income kids who didn't have a choice, get a good education. If you open it up to anybody, regardless of how much money their family makes, that's a totally different program. And I don't know that that's a done deal, but that's still in the governor's budget.
Interesting. And I know that Governor Walker is scheduled to speak in Washington today, a national conference on private school vouchers and charter schools. So he's kind of taking on sort of a national identity in this issue.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know that I can answer Joyce's question exactly, other than to say that, this is something that you don't hear the same passion from Republicans when they're talking about public schools, most of them, than you do when you hear them talking about the voucher school system in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Last week, the legislature did do some changes that I want to talk about briefly before we run out of time with you. There was a big cut in funding for the Arts Board. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and in dollar terms, this is a pretty small agency, so it's not like this is this cut solves the whole budget picture or it makes the budget deficit go away. But in terms of percentage, the Arts Board took a pretty big cut in the governor's budget. He would have cut them, north of 70% of their budget. And the Joint Finance Committee took it up last week. There, some members had hinted earlier that this would be an area where they parted from the governor and preserved some funding. They preserved some, but not too much. I mean, they cut the Arts Board around 66% of their budget. So still a sizable cut for a single agency. You had Republicans, Alberta Darling, saying this isn't something that they wanted to do, but their hand was forced.
We have tough decisions to make, and I've decided it's much easier being a Democrat than a Republican right now, because you can just say yes and continue spending. We can't. We are a majority party. We are responsible for getting the state on the right track, so we have to make really tough decisions.
And Democrat Bob Jauch basically wasn't buying it.
It has nothing to do with hard times. It has nothing to do with economic difficult times. It has to do with a philosophical disdain for the value of arts.
And Jauch was saying that if Republicans really wanted to, they could have preserved this, as we said, fairly small in dollar terms agency by spreading these cuts out among other agencies. One thing the Finance Committee did do is they bucked the governor on his proposal to fold the entire agency into the Department of Tourism.
Okay.
The agency's still going there, but the Arts Board will have the ability to appoint their executive director.
And what happened with the regional transit authorities last week?
Basically, Joint Finance Committee Co-Chair Robin Voss introduced a motion that that said these transit authorities that Democrats approved in the last budget for Southeast Wisconsin, for Dane County, for you know, a couple areas, the Fox, well, a couple other RTAs, and I'm going to flub through them here if I try to name both of them, but basically said that those are all eliminated, and you know, he made it clear that that he wanted this to be the end of the discussion, basically.
The demise of the discussion in the last legislature, in my mind, was the wake. The election was the funeral, and today hopefully will be the burial of this idea of saying that we are going to have unelected, unaccountable RTAs created all over the state.
I guess I what is what can't happen now that the RTAs are dead?
Yeah, well, these were authorities. They had set up the legislature set up these authorities that could potentially levy a sales tax to pay for bus and rail in Southeast Wisconsin and Dane County and elsewhere. I mean, it didn't authorize that, but that was a possibility out there. That's no longer a possibility if this survives through the budget process. Those RTAs are dead.
Well, we have just a minute before news time, Sean. We covered a lot of territory here. I wonder if you have any thoughts on this proposed constitutional amendment to guarantee collective bargaining rights. I suspect with the Republicans in control that it may not pass this session of the legislature.
Yeah, any constitutional amendment has to pass the full legislature two consecutive sessions of the legislature. So it would have to pass this year. And then it would have to pass the next year. It's the type of thing you'd probably need Democratic majorities in both the Senate and the Assembly to pass, and you'd need those for two consecutive sessions. That's a tall order.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that tall order after the news. All right, Sean, thanks very much.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. And we will welcome in Democratic State Senator Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee after the news to talk about his proposal for a constitutional amendment on collective bargaining rights. This is the Ideas Network.